Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your questions on the line this evening is Jean-Pierre Fister from Protea Capital Management and Thamsanqa Netta from Shiloh Capital. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392 or email us at stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Let's get into it, starting with insights from Bloomberg. The Bank of England has signaled that tighter monetary policy is around the corner in an aim to keep a lid on rising inflation. Financial markets are now betting that the central bank could increase interest rates from as early as next month. Bloomberg spoke with UBS chief economist Aaron Kaptien on how rate hikes could affect the UK economy. Let's take a look.
It's pretty obvious when someone says, you know, I'm giving you a signal that, you know, they're about to go. So there's all this debate about, are they making a policy mistake? And so my view on it is that no, not necessarily. I think if they deliver what the market is pricing, that actually does very little to the economy. The banking sector in this country doesn't actually lend to the corporate sector. It's less than 20% of the bank book. The households have been stress tested for mortgage rates in excess of 6%. When you take out a mortgage, there's huge, I think, buffers to sort of withstand some modest increase in BOE rates. And then the other thing, I think, is that the pass-through is going to be less than 100%, as we saw pre-pandemic. So the notion, so I think what's happening is this is a public relations game where the Bank of England has effectively lost control of the narrative a little bit because of the energy shocks and lorry driver shortages. And obviously, market-based expectations are running away. And there's now a sense of loss of control that they need to react to. But economically, I think this is sort of, it's not going to do a lot of damage. And you know, whether they start now or start a few months from now, which was the assumption just a little while back, I think it's sort of neither here nor there.
Gents, JP, Thamsanqa, welcome to the new revamped show. What are your thoughts on our chief economist, what he said now on monetary policy and the Bank of England? JP, sorry.
I think it's a great debate at the moment, Bright. You know, not too long ago, central bankers said that inflation is going to be transitory.
Correct.
And now all of a sudden, people are asking whether the central bankers haven't lost control. If you look at some prices of metals like aluminium, for instance, or minerals like coal, electricity, natural gas, not too long ago, lumber.
Yes,
which we call wood. So it's very interesting to see all these prices spiking and the central bank is saying we think it's temporary, and now all of a sudden we hear from them that they might be changing their tune, that they might need to raise rates because of these rising prices. So it's a fascinating debate, and it's an important debate because higher central bank rates means higher discount rates for future cash flows.
Yes.
So if you take a growth stock that has got cash flows far into the future, you use a discount rate to bring it back to present value today, the higher the rate, the lower the net present value of your cash flows. So with higher rates, it means lower valuation. And that's why it's such an important debate at the moment.
Yeah, and Thamsanqa, I know you're a growth investor on the most part. So what does this mean for, you know, growth investors out there?
Well, Goldman Sachs has put it as a 1-4 chance that the BOE raise rates. But if you look at where interest rates are right now, they're at 0.1%. The BOE lends only like about 20% to corporates. So there's a significant buffer between the bank and the corporate market.
Yep.
I think at this stage, there's a lot of energy shocks. The fuel trucks that are not making it into the UK, that will sort of affect the prices. But my view is this will be relatively short term. The longer term concerns would be around the energy production prices with coal. But I think even with a marginal increase and them having already given some form of warning to the market that this is possible, I think we'll start seeing some pricing into the market of these sort of elements.
Yeah, there's a lot actually happening in that. Unfortunately, we can't get into much of a debate around it. So let's jump straight into our questions. This one comes from Russell, who's asking the panel about CMH, which is, you know, the retailer of cars, basically saying today they had a strong interim update with a dividend to boot at the end of the year. What is the panel's thought? JP, you want to take that one?
Yes, CMH was actually my stock pick not too long ago.
Yeah.
So I was very glad to see the strong results today. It looks very strong on a year-to-year basis because the previous period, the previous year, was very suppressed by COVID impacts. But even if you compare this result with the six-month period of 2 years ago, there's still nice growth.
Wow.
So it shows us that South Africans haven't lost their appetite for new cars. They're also buying second-hand cars and also renting cars. CMH has got a significant rental business as well. And even though it's been a difficult year for them, I think the management team of CMH has done a great job to get through COVID, to focus on cash flow, and to generate a record performance and pay a very nice dividend. So all in all, I still like the business. I like the company. If you say for the half year, they made R2 a share.
Yep.
And the share is trading at roughly R28. You can't quite necessarily double the R2 to R4 for the full year, but it's still trading at a single digit PE. So I still see value in CMH.
Yes, and Tamsang Lulama is asking here from Twitter. She's asking about African Rainbow Capital, saying that basically in the past month, the company has run up a lot. What's happening there? Your thoughts on African Rainbow Capital?
So ARC is basically an investment holding company, and its assets are being revalued, in my view, specifically Rain. I think Rain has gone through a particular revaluation, especially given that a lot more usage and user growth around it has occurred. And I also think having walked away from that $250 million that they wanted to pay themselves also endeared the market to them. So I think over time, they're going to get a healthier valuation. I'm not necessarily a fan of investment holding companies. I'd rather hold the assets directly. But in this event where you can't have access to certain private companies, I would look at it and say a 40% rise largely is a revaluation given where the stock has been priced over time and a view of the assets that it holds going forward.
Yes, JP, we have another question from Johan de Bruin, who's saying basically with regards to our conversation we just had earlier on, you know, interest rates going up, what are our thoughts on or the panel's thoughts on Tiger Brands, a company like Tiger Brands?
Yes, so firstly, if anyone from Tiger Brands is listening, I've really been looking for the sugar-free tomato sauce for months now, and it's not on the shelves. So please, I don't know what's going on, but I need my sugar-free tomato sauce.
Agreed.
Look, Tiger Brands is an FMCG company, fast-moving consumer goods. It means they've got thousands, if not millions, of individual customers. So even though they sell to retailers, effectively, they have pricing power because of the consumer being the ultimate customer.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they have a lot of different suppliers that they can buy from. There are many tomato farmers in the country that they can negotiate with to get the lowest price for tomatoes. There's a few packaging companies that they can negotiate with and use their scale to decrease prices. So in the value chain of FMCG products, they've got a very strong position to negotiate prices. That gives them pricing power on the selling side and pricing power on the input side. So in general, Tiger Brands is a high-quality company. It has struggled the last while.
Yes.
Some management problems and the problems with Escort and the Listeriosis problem. So if you think longer out, the brands are high quality. There's value here. But in the short term, I think management still has some work to do. They need to get over the latest recall of who make beans as well. That'll cost them a few R100 million now for the year ending September. So I like it, but more for the longer term. In the short term, I think it could be a while before we see the value being crystallized at Tiger Brand.
Yes. Over to you, Tamsanga. Quickly, Johan Bierman is asking about whether Sasol is still a buy at these levels, considering that, you know, where the oil price and all the energy prices are right now currently.
So I would say Sasol is now moved from a value stock to a special situation. So you are now looking at, can you enter at a good price and exit at a better one? if you look at what they're trying to do, cleaning up their balance sheet and sort of disposing of a lot of non-core businesses, they've disposed of the explosive business, they're disposing of anything that's not primary to them. I think they've got a long-term future. But the kind of growth we've seen in the share price over the last year, I don't think will be repeatable going forward. So if you believe that the business is going to be run well over the next 3 to 5 years, then it's a buy. However, if we are looking at share price movement alone, I think it's a special situations play and the train has officially left the building.
The COVID recovery has led to a global demand exceeding supply. Prices have surged. And amid all of that, the global consumer is in stronger than ever. Last week, US retail sales surprised to the upside and HSBC is following the money. Bullish on consumer-focused stocks, our colleagues at Bloomberg spoke with Willem Sels, the chief investment officer at HSBC Private Bank.
So we are still relatively constructive around the consumer. That's in part because of the savings and in part, obviously, as well, because we are starting to see some wage growth. Consumers also, still have a lot of margin power on their side, because we are in a world where, we can compare prices before we buy something. And actually, consumers probably have more power than the companies themselves. It's one of the reasons why, from a company perspective, when we invest, we look for quality stocks, those companies with the strong margin power that can charge through, the cost pressures to the final consumer. But indeed, if we have to choose between the consumer and, industrial stocks, it is the consumer stocks that we are looking for.
JP, welcome back. Do you have any of these stocks in our local markets, actually, that he's referring to on the clip?
We have quite a few consumer stocks in our market. If you think about the retailers, I mentioned food producers. You have some stocks that that also deliver services to individuals. You can think of the hospitals, for instance.
Yep.
But what we don't have is we don't have the U.S. consumer.
Yes, I was
so
about to say.
Well, you speak about a strong consumer. We did not get checks in the mail.
Unfortunately.
Like they did in the U.S.
Yes.
That would have been very nice. So our consumer stocks are in a decent position, but I wouldn't say they're as strong as U.S. consumer stocks because the U.S. consumer got some money in the mail. And until we get that from President Ramaphosa, our consumer is not quite in as good a position.
Yeah, I like to make the joke that we're still recovering from 2016 here in South Africa. Tam Sanga, we'll get to COVID. Tam Sanga, your thoughts on retail sales and a strong consumer?
I agree with JP. In the US, just see the Shopify numbers exceeded Amazon numbers in terms of sales. So the consumer side is pretty strong on that end.
Yeah.
On our end, I think the structure of our economy, weak growth, high indebtedness, I think makes it difficult to factor into our consumer stocks that there's going to be some form of high purchasing post-COVID. So I think we need to, when you review it and you're a consumer stock buyer,
yes,
you need to look at the market in which you're buying in, and that's what will make the difference.
Yeah, no, you make a very important point there. So let's back it up a little. Francois Smith is asking whether City Lodge is a buy for the long term, JP.
So City Lodge, I think the price has run ahead of the fundamentals here. They did a very dilutive rights issue because they effectively guaranteed a BEE scheme. And because the share price dropped below the level they guaranteed, they needed to do a rights issue at a very low price to pay the debt back to the bankers. And that means that City Lodge is not going back to the type of share price it traded at previously because it has something like 10 times more shares in it. I do think it's going to take a while before we see the type of occupancy rates that we saw in a normal period. We know South Africa now is off the red list, but that doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to have a flood of tourists. And City Lodge is also quite exposed to the business traveler, not just tourist traveler. So I think a doubling of the share price in such a short space of time is maybe a little bit much for the underlying fundamental of City Lodge.
Yes. Tamsanga, earlier on Twitter, Pinky Sitole asked, what medium or small cap company you feel is underrated / undervalued currently? And you had an answer, so I want you to share your thoughts and your answer there for us.
Well, I've got two companies, Double or Nothing. The first one is PPE. I think they've got a large space for growing, especially the easy equity side of the business. And I think their partnerships that they are making, Capitec, Discovery, and now my second pick, Renergen, who also is growing well. They're looking to create a spot price for helium as well, and they've allowed crypto to enter the space, and they've asked PPE to also put together the platform. So those two stocks for me, I think, have a very, very broad market to swim in. And the issue is, I think the real issue is that they really don't have very strong competition in the market that they operate. They're beginning to swim ahead on their own and create a moat. So I think it's going to be difficult to replicate what those two companies have done. So they've created a moat for themselves. They continue to grow, continue to add customers, continue to provide innovative ways to include more people. And I think the upside for both companies and both stocks is quite broad.
Okay, so it's Renergen and Purple Group for you. JP Fester, Unalina has actually asked a very interesting question with regards to transaction capital, asking, well, what does it mean now post the big transaction that they did with We Buy Cars? Are they a good long-term buy?
Look, I think if you look at the three main divisions of transaction capital, it's got some very good niche operations.
Yes.
Whether it's SA Taxi, which is the dominant provider of taxi finance in the South African market, and the competitive advantage of theirs being that whole recovery and reclamation part of the business, where if the taxi driver doesn't pay, they can actually reclaim the taxi and get good value from it, and have their own panel beeping shops to get good value from a second-hand taxi. Or then the whole credit services business, which is a bunch of smaller businesses where they have expertise in, for instance, doing credit management and getting money in on behalf of other credit providers, or buying the books from other credit providers if they tried to get the money back and they couldn't. Transaction capital is good with that as well.
Yes.
And then the latest deal, We Buy Cars, such a dominant player in the second-hand car market. Their scale is just so much more than the next best player. They bought the Northgate Dome. That's going to be the biggest second-hand car shop that I know of in South Africa, if not the Southern Hemisphere. So I do think transaction capital is well-placed. The share price at this point maybe discounts all of this, but if they continue to surprise on the upside, as they have done, then it's not necessarily too expensive, but I would prefer a lower price to buy into this quality group.
Yeah, I remember not so long ago when they paid that 8 Rand special dividend. This company has only been going up since then. Tamsanga, this is Nomi on our Twitter line, who's saying, are there any catalysts for a re-rating in Anheuser-Busch, InBev, or whatever they call themselves these days? Margins are constrained, there's a huge debt pile, and they look far too cheap at these levels. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think in essence, they're a relatively good stock given the lockdowns and the blocking of alcohol consumption that we've had. I think over time, they're going to go back to relatively good levels. However, I don't think it's necessarily a stock you can bet on in the present term. They've got a lot of management decisions to make, especially around that debt load and how they are going to recover from this lockdown period. And I think at this stage, I'll just wait and see to see how the management handles. The company failed to lobby the government to allow alcohol sales versus their counterparts, BAT, who managed to successfully lobby the government after the first lockdown and everyone went back to smoking. So I think there's a lot to consider around management decision-making before committing capital.
Yes, you make very good points there with ANH, but it's a global business, and I think most of the focus will definitely be on the debt there. Over to you, JP, this one's for you. They're asking about Sepaku and PPC. So the question basically is, how long until we see a spike in these two companies?
Well, if you look back a year, I don't think you could have wanted a better spike than what you saw in the PPC share price. It's gone up 10 times. So that's a great year for PPC. But there's a good reason for it, and that's because they were They were down with too much debt, a big chance of a rights offer, issues in the rest of Africa, the head office guaranteeing debt in other African countries, low cement prices. So they were in a terrible state. And they got through that, good cash generation, avoided a rights issue. So I think it's trading closer to fair value now. And now it's all about the government policy of only using locally sourced cement for a lot of the infrastructure projects. So Parco is somewhat similar. They've also got local manufacturing, cement manufacturing facilities. They didn't get into that much trouble a year ago. That's why the rise hasn't been as much. But they will also benefit from the new local procurement rules. So both these companies, I think, are well-placed, but they are trading closer to fair value. At the current valuation, I've got a slight preference for Parco. It hasn't quite discounted the benefits of what the government might mean for them versus what PPC's share price has.
Yeah, okay. Now, those two have always been in tight competition here locally, which is very interesting. Tamsang, we have another question from our Twitter line from Ronel, who's saying Aspen Pharmacare is doing very well. Is this purely tied to the rollout of the vaccine that we've seen? Or is there something, you know, another catalyst pushing the share price up, and are they buy for the long term?
So I would say if you are in, hold. If you are not, don't buy. I think they are benefiting broadly from the COVID upswing. Unlike other sort of pharma competitors like Moderna, they really don't research much. They focus on cookie cutter and what they call generic drugs. And so they are basically passing on other people's research to us at an affordable prices. So if they had an element of research or they were targeting some sector of the healthcare that's outside of pharma, I would say yes, but at this point, it's a hold. If you don't have any scope at this point and you're not involved, then don't buy, in my view.
Okay, thanks, Samsung. It's the moment of truth, gentlemen. Stock picks. I'll start with you, JP.
So the last month or so, I've been choosing local stocks after for probably the 5 years before that choosing offshore stocks. I do see more value on the local market versus offshore at the moment. And my stock pick is Coronation. So you might say, why does one asset manager pick the shares of another asset manager? But that's the beauty of stock markets. You can buy into various businesses. And I think the business of asset management is a good business model, especially if it's a asset manager that is managing the money well. Now, Coronation mentioned roughly 2 weeks ago that their assets under management is more than 600 billion. Their earnings for the full year to the end of September will be up 20-30%. So it's trading at roughly a 10 times PE. And the important thing about this business, because it's a people business, not an asset heavy business, is your profit, accounting profit, is just about equal to your cash. So the dividend will be almost equal to the profits of the company, probably around 90% of the profits of the company. So not only is it trading at a 10 PE, it's trading at a 9-10% dividend yield. So a lot of value. The Global Emerging Market Fund has been under some pressure the last 6 months. But over the long term, I think they've got a good team. They've made good decisions. And if they continue to do that, the Coronation shares are good value at this price.
Yeah, that one gets the seal of approval from the dividend puppy himself. Tamsang, your stock pick for the night?
Yeah, firstly, I want to say I agree with JP. We also hold Coronation. Great stock. I love it. My stock pick, as you know, Renergen, very bullish on the stock and very bullish on their energy future. I like the moat they've created. They're now moving towards creating a spot price for helium and including cryptocurrency in the trades. I like the transparency they have with the shareholder. They recently had a visit to their site and their plant. So I think there's a very, very good stock which is going to do well over the long term, especially with the focus on renewable energy.
Okay, thanks, gents. Thanks to my guest, Jean-Pierre Festel from Protea Capital Management and Tamsang Naneta from Shiloh Capital. Julieta takes more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a good evening.